You are listening to Fly Like an Angel. Fly Like an Angel is supported by arrangemymortgage.com.
So, Sophie, welcome to Fly Like an Angel. Thank you very much for being on. How are you? You okay?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited to be doing this, Bobby.
And thank you
for the contribution that you make, because I think it's really appreciated by the fans.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a pleasure to speak to you, obviously. So we've seen you around the ground. I'm sure most Tunbridge Angels fans will know who you are. And obviously, I remember when you first sort of got involved in the club, you did, I think it was called a podcast, it was like a video interview with Neil, didn't you? Where you spoke to Neil.
That's so, right. Yeah, I got grilled by Neil.
Yeah. So now you've got the pleasure of me instead of Neil. So there we go.
Yeah.
But no, so
I couldn't comment who's the prettier one. I could not comment on that.
I'll fight that out with Neil afterwards. That'd be fine. But no, so obviously, so from that interview, if anyone listens to it, or if they go on YouTube, listen to it, they can hear you from what you said when you first came to the club, and they can hear your background. But how, just in general, before we get into things, how are you? How are things going? How's the last few years been? Obviously, COVID and stuff's been. I can't remember, was that interview whilst COVID was, or was it before COVID? I can't remember. But
I think it was during COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. So how in general, how's everything going?
Well, I mean, it's going really well. I mean, I've fallen in love with Tunbridge Angels Football Club, which is brilliant for me, because I needed to care about football again, and I, you know, totally do. So I just think that it's a really special place. I think that we've got some really good people involved with the club. And I think that, you know, the fans have been great to me. Everybody's been so kind and welcoming, and to me and my family. And it's been a joy to be involved. And I think it's over a year and a half now. So it's been quite a journey. I think we've come quite a long way in quite a short space of time.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And before we go into like sort of the last season and talk about plans for the future and things like that, what would you say? This sounds like a job interview question. I love it. But what would you say? Yeah. Like, what would you say that you've brought to Tunbridge Angels, if you can?
Oh gosh, what have I brought to Tunbridge Angels? I think I've brought some focus. Which was probably needed. I think that when I first met Dave in lockdown, Dave Netherstreet, I think it was a really difficult time, you know, in the midst of COVID. I think I looked at Dave and I felt like, you know, the board were kind of drowning, didn't quite know where they were going. And Dave asked me to do a kind of warts and all report on the football club. That was the kind of starting point.
Yeah.
And I did that, and I looked at the accounts, and I went through everything with a fine tooth comb, and actually the club was very well run, but it wasn't generating enough revenue. It was simple as that. So it was careful, it was cautious, it was well run, but we needed more income. So I think that what I've probably helped to do is bring a bit of focus to the board and help to increase revenue. So, for example, last season, our sponsorship went up to 75,000, which was amazing from a very sort of low point. We're getting sponsors involved. I think we're trying to get more to the heart of the community. And obviously the pitch is going to help us really achieve that. So I think that's what my contribution is. And I probably just annoy the hell out of my fellow board members, which is which is great fun. They are long suffering.
Well, and so how do you, just out of interest, so how do you go about that? So for example, a club like Tunbridge, how does a club like Tunbridge go from being how it was to suddenly getting £75,000 worth of sponsorship? Is it through contacts? Is it just through getting the club out there? Or
I think it's just getting out there. I think that it was just sort of knocking on doors and speaking to people and utilizing contacts that people had, I mean, Fernham Homes are a huge supporter of the club now, and that was really just a speculative letter. Yeah. It was, you know, you're a big employer in Tunbridge, you know, we'd love you to get involved, and they responded to that. So, various different ways, but we're in a really healthy position, and that's going to be strengthened further by the appointment now of Ross Bennett, who's our commercial manager. He'll be actually working on it full time, because obviously I was sort of doing this, as a part time voluntary role. But if we're really going to take things forward, you know, we need somebody on the job full time. So Ross has joined. He's his first day was interesting because obviously we made a change. In the manager, we were actually interviewing new manager, you know, for the new manager position on the day that Ross arrived. But he's doing really well. He's a really likeable guy. Yeah. He's absolutely diligent and determined to make a really successful career in the football industry. And he's also a fan, so he cares about the club, and I think that's what you need to be successful. Yeah, you've got to have the kind of business acumen, but you really do have to care about, you know, what you're delivering and what you're trying to achieve. So yeah, he's a great addition to the team. We're really lucky to have him.
Yeah, brilliant. And with that, so I'm guessing you said it there with the figure of sponsorship, because I mean, you don't have to put two and two together to figure out that the club's gone from having lots of volunteers and that to suddenly obviously having Ross, to having, I think, Sarah Parks, to having a full-time football manager, which he's never had. So I presume, is that a case of that extra sponsorship has helped to start those positions, and now obviously the business aim will be for those to pay for themselves and some, or is that how it was working?
Yeah. So, I mean, sponsorship's helped. Sarah came in as events and hospitality. You know, we really weren't utilising the marquee, and I think that was plain for everybody to see.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've really changed things there. Our match day bars were incredibly successful over the season. Attendance figures increased as well. So all these things put together have really changed the financial landscape of the football club, and have helped us make these calculated, risk-free appointments, because, you know, these people are already paying for themselves. And, you know, Ross has obviously got targets, and he'll be increasing commercial revenue even further. So it's been very good to have these people. You just can't achieve the things that we wanted to achieve just relying solely on volunteers. Volunteers are really, really important to a football club like Tunbridge Angels. But, you know, if you're really going to drive sales and, operate on a proper basis, then you just need good, dedicated, full-time staff.
Yeah, completely agree. And you touched on, you mentioned their attendances. So obviously, and this was what the club said in their release, despite home performances not always being great last season, attendances continue to increase, especially since Christmas. Now, I've said my whole life, from being a kid to being an adult and work and business and that, is that Tunbridge has always had potential. And you look at, it's a commuter town, it's what, 45 minutes out of London. You look at a club like Dulwich, who have tapped into the Tuesday night drinking market in London, and they were getting it to start. Yeah. They were getting 300 on a Saturday, but 2,000 on a Tuesday night, because it's all the city workers. You look at schemes like that. So obviously, Tunbridge, I feel like, for the size of the town, has always had the potential, but never fulfilled that. But now it's starting to. Is there a goal where you're thinking like, right, we want to break the four figures every game next season? Or we're looking for a goal attendance wise, or is it just as many through the door as possible?
Yeah, I think it's as many through the door as possible. I mean, we budgeted last season on about 650.
Right, okay.
And we averaged without the cup games at about 830.
Yeah.
So that was really, really positive. But, you know, Tunbridge Angels has always done some really good things, but they just didn't tell people about it.
Yeah.
So one thing I identified very early was that, you know, we let under 12s in for free, which is brilliant. But we didn't really tell anybody that we did that.
Yeah.
So we made these little passes in the pre-season, and you know, these could be printed off and distributed. And I think a lot of it, you know, we've seen the demographic change quite significantly with the crowds. We've got a lot of younger people coming to the games now, which is really positive. You know, that bodes well for the, obviously for the future. And we've got a lot more kids, and what we're realizing is that, yeah, these kids are coming in free, but they're spending, you know, they're spending in the kiosk. Our kiosk sales are, you know, four times as many as we anticipated.
Brilliant.
So yeah, you know, kiosk sales are really, really good, and we're going to expand on that next season. So there's some exciting catering options that are being developed at the moment. So
can you give any podcast exclusives to what?
Being a northerner, I feel that we have to have pies. They may well be a dedicated pie shack. Brilliant. Arriving at Longmead Stadium, so watch this space. But I mean, again, I've got to praise Sarah. She's smashed her targets. She's done incredibly well, and now with Ross's help, they are going to really, really go for it on the event side next year. So we're going to be doing, you know, we need to be having an event every week. And you know, we've started off with tribute nights, which have been really good, successful. Take That was really, really, really successful. We're contemplating like ladies' nights. I know Ross is already working on some sportsmen's dinners. So there's lots of really positive things, and we've got Angel Fest coming up. So it's the return of Angel Fest. We're super excited about that, with live bands, local bands, you know, loads of different beers, local beers. We're trying to support local producers as well. That's what we feel is important.
These
are all things we're trying to kind of build on. It's exciting times for the football club. It's everybody's really buzzing at the moment.
And we can't talk about food or drink, and without listeners, I won't be forgiven if I don't ask. Plans? Is there any plans for any chips to come? Because the club has got a lot.
Chips have to return. No.
My kids ask me
every week, when are we getting chips? When are we getting chips? So, yes, there is a plan for chips to return. We have to do a little bit of work on that, because I don't think our catering outlets are quite large enough, Fryers. So we have to make some amendments. So it may not be next season, but it will be the season after. Chips are destined to return.
I might call the polystyrene. I might call the podcast Return of the Chips. I think that will get loads of views.
definitely. I think that's a must.
Yeah, brilliant. So let's have a look at last season then. So a bit of a general question, but how do you feel last season went in general?
From a footballing point of view.
Or like a football fan point of view.
I think off the pitch it was an incredible success. I think that many people didn't think that we would raise the funds for the pitch, which we did. Phil Broad, who's a fellow director, worked tirelessly on trying to achieve that. And he's done a great, great job. And yeah, I think it was, you know, we basically raised £650,000 in about 3 weeks. It was
amazing. Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That was a massive success. The turnaround in the sort of financial side of things at the club has been successful. I don't think that the on the pitch it matched the success that we were having off the pitch. We did increase the playing budget last season quite significantly, by about 20%.
Wow.
I don't think we saw the level of success that we'd hoped for.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, obviously, you know, that's part of probably our discussion, you know, about the managerial change, you know, that's which is obviously had everybody talking about.
So go on, let's get to that, because that's what we want to know. So with regards to Steve, obviously, so Steve, obviously, so first question is, when was the decision made? Was it made sort of at the end of the season? Is it something that had been brewing for a while? Or was that, as was said, you know, when was the sort of decision that actually that's the project, the way the club's gone is the way the club wanted to go forward?
Yeah, so we had a board meeting on the 3rd of May, and, you know, the view before we had the board meeting was that there was a gut feeling amongst the board that things weren't quite right, and we discussed it at length in the board meeting, and we discussed whether we felt confident giving Steve the budget for next season. Did we feel confident that we would avoid relegation with 4 going down under his leadership? And, you know, unanimously, all 6 of us felt that it was high risk to give him the budget. And, you know, it's so difficult, these things. I mean, Steve's obviously, you know, been at Tonbridge Angels for 8 years. He's done really, really well for the club. We're in a fantastic position being in National League South. I think, yeah, it's hard to describe. I think that people that know football, you know, our fan base is quite diverse. I'm always really interested by it, because, you know, you get fans that actually go that are, you know, really there for the football. You get others that go, you know, to have a drink and the kind of social side. You get the community. So because you've got these different elements within the fan base, it's not solely football kind of purists. You get very different feelings about things like a managerial change. Because I think, you know, a lot of the fans want to keep an equilibrium. You know, they don't like the change and upset. But, you know, all of us, I always harp on about this to the board, and I'm like a, you know, broken record, that, you know, we are custodians of the football club, and every decision that we make has to be in the best interests of Tonbridge Angels Football Club. It's not in the best interests of Steve McKim. It's not in the best interests of Sophie Purvis. It has to be in the best interests of the football club. And we made that decision purely on for footballing reasons. It was nothing personal. Yeah. And, you know, I think that the board are very grateful to Steve and Barry for what they achieved while they're here. But I think it is time, you know, for a change if we want to realise our ambition, which is to go into the National League, and that has to be the club's aim.
No, completely understand. And I think so it's funny, because when towards the end of the season you get the discussions, don't you, being non-league footballers, rolling contracts or whatever, and you say, you think, will Steve be here next year? What's the plan? And the rumours of changes, naturally there's changes coming, it's obvious, plastic pitch coming, there's going to be more income to the club, so you'd think over time there would potentially be increased budgets and things. Yeah. And I found from chatting to people that it was very much a split 50-50, that some people were adamant, no, we need change, we want change, you know, Steve's taken us as far as we can. Other people were, well, he has, but it's interesting you said there, and I didn't know about the increased budget, but some people, and let's face it, unless we're told things like that, no football fan really knows what the budget is. But you know, some people were saying that, well, actually, Steve deserves the chance to be given an increased budget, and then see if we're bottom in November and sack him, which I'm guessing from a boards of directors point of view isn't the ideal way you want to go forward, because you don't want mid-season managerial changes. I think I can see why it sort of gets which reviews. However, as a whole, I think people have been excited to see obviously where the club's going. Before we talk about sort of Jay coming in and sort of the next week, what, if you don't mind me asking, I think it was fairly obvious that the club potentially weren't expecting a tweet from Steve to come out.
I'm guessing. I think it's fair to say we were on the back foot. That's the phrase. I mean, we made the decision on, I think it was the Tuesday evening. And, you know, it was really, really difficult for the board. And I think the delivering the message was something that the board, couldn't really envisage how that was going to happen. So I kind of said, put myself forward, and I said, look, I'm probably the best person to have this conversation with Steve. I said I would call him and then meet him face to face, which I did. So we met at a hotel in Reigate on the Tuesday night, and you know, I had the very difficult conversation, which is, you know, it's just not easy, is it? It's just a horrible sort of situation when you know people well, you've got to know people well, you've got to know their families. So it wasn't easy. You know, Steve, you know, was very angry, and you know, it was not a, you know, an easy situation. But we felt that we wanted to tell him as soon as possible, with the view of giving him some kind of way to exit in the best possible manner. I think we owed that to him. We knew we had the award ceremony coming up, the player awards. We didn't feel that it would be respectful in any way to allow him to, you know, speak at that event, present at that event, talk about next season, when we knew that we'd made this decision. You know, I think it would have caused embarrassment, and I think it would have been totally the wrong thing to do. So we felt we needed, if we'd made the decision, we needed to let him know as soon as possible. So we had the discussion. As I said, there's a lot of anger, a lot of aggression, but you know, we did give Steve the option to take the team at St Albans. So that was the discussion. Do you want to take the team at St Albans? How do you want to present this to the outside world? We're happy to say that it's a, you know, a sort of mutual parting of the ways. But, you know, he obviously made it clear that he would not take the team at St Albans. We really wanted to give him the chance to kind of say goodbye to the fans. That was where we were coming from. So he made it very clear that he wouldn't take the team at St Albans, and he made it very clear that he did not want to the announcement to be sugar-coated in any way. And so we discussed that, and then my phone started going mad about 10 seconds after the meeting ended. I think Steve must have been very quick on his phone in the car as he left the car park. So yeah, we were on the back foot, which, you know, wasn't ideal. And you know, we would have much rather have Steve approved the draft press release and kind of done things in a more kind of constructive manner. But I have to say, and I have to give enormous credit to Tom Parkinson, because he was literally one of the first people I called from that car park in Reigate, because I knew, you know, that we didn't have anyone to take the team on Saturday. And that was, you know, right. So I phoned him and I said, look, this has happened. I think he'd already seen it, you know, like most people. Because they have a WhatsApp group as well. So I think Steve had released it on the WhatsApp group immediately as well to the players. So I spoke to Tom and I said, look, Tom, I said, you know, the club really, really needs you. Would you consider, you know, taking the team at St Albans? And he said, my loyalty, you know, is to the club. I'm academy manager. You know, the club means so much to me, and I'd, you know, be honoured to do that. And I said, well, you know, we really, really appreciate that. So he, you know, I've got enormous respect for Tom, because it wasn't easy for him as well. You know, he got a win. He's got 100% record.
Bodes him well for his future managerial career.
I've spoken to Steve since then. You know, he obviously, we knew quite early that he was going to get the Carl Shorten job. So, you know, I called him and wished him the very best. And I actually think, he probably doesn't think this now, but I actually think that that's a really great move for him in his career. And I think that a fresh challenge will really reinvigorate him. And I think maybe with hindsight, he'll look back and think, actually, that was the right thing.
It's good to hear you say that as well, because I think obviously I've said this to Steve and spoken to Steve as well myself, but I'm first and foremost a massive Tunbridge Angels fan, but then equally respect Steve and like Steve and have got to know Steve. And Steve, as I've said on the podcast and as I've said to Steve, me and Steve didn't see eye to eye when I was younger and used to give him a bit too much abuse, but then as I got to know him more and we had conversations, I actually really got to like him, and we got really well. And so I have spoken to him, and I think, you know, it's exactly that. I hope that in a few years' time we'll look back and we'll go, yeah, that was the right decision. And Steve and Barry will look back and they might be playing us in the Conference South in two seasons' time. You never know. But I hope, like with any decision in life, we hope that we look back and go, everything happens for a reason, and it was all meant, what was meant to be, meant to be. And one thing that Steve, I was going to ask you, if I don't mind me asking, Steve said in one of his interviews he did, was that he felt it could have been done earlier. Now my opinion of that was we weren't safe, so it's potentially a bit of a risk telling your manager he's not going to be there next season when we're not mathematically safe. But obviously on goal difference we effectively were safe. But what would you or the club potentially say to that, in the fact of could it have been done earlier? Or
no, we absolutely needed to be mathematically safe, you know. You know, that would have been a crazy thing to do. So you know, we had to be mathematically safe, you know, it was not easy, tough decision, but made for the right reasons and in the best interests of the club.
Absolutely. And so then, you say obviously Sopaki took over the team, and for whatever reason, it was probably the best performance of the season at St Albans. And as I say, hopefully that's because we were safe and the players had had a bit of freedom to play with. But then obviously us fans at St Albans, we had a great day out, but we could see people in the crowd. And I was, you know, I think the first thing that I was getting told as I walked through the door was, Jay Saunders is over there, can you believe it? And then Jamie Day or other, you know, there was, whether they were interviews or not, that you just, last game of the season, if a manager's free, they're going to go and watch football. So we don't know who else obviously is. But it was clear that there was a number of names from non-league football around there potentially looking for the job. So obviously the club acted quickly. Margate have since said obviously that it was fairly quick that you come in to approach approach Jay, and it seems like that was all quite amicable in getting Jay Saunders. But if you don't mind asking, obviously I'm very excited, and I've spoken to Jay, and I think he's great. But why Jay? What could potentially, a couple of people have mentioned this, what's the difference between Jay and Steve? They know that there's been a history of them being friends. There's rumours that years ago Jay asked Steve to be his coach at Maidstone. What would you say is the difference between the way we're going now and why Jay, and what can Jay bring in your...
So we you know what it's like. Obviously, everybody knows what it's like. As soon as you make a managerial change, people, you know, start to apply. They contact. The phone rings, the emails come through, you know, Charlie Cole's phone rings, you know. So these sort of inquiries and applications come through various different routes. We spoke in length in the end to three people. You know, we had other people that applied, but for one reason or another, we didn't feel that that was the right fit for us. And it could be geography, or it could have been, you know, that they didn't have the experience in this at this level. I think the criteria that we'd identified before we spoke to anybody was that we needed somebody to have managed at this level or the level above. We weren't looking at anybody from anybody that managed below. So I think the three people that we spoke to were all incredibly strong. I think, and that's credit to the club, and you know, all are excellent. I think that we really leaned towards Jay for a few different reasons. Number one, I think that he absolutely knows the kind of Southeast non-league scene inside and out. He's always watching games, he's incredibly diligent, and you know, we could see that he had a track record of picking players up from a lower level, developing them, and that was attractive to us. And I think that the fact that he's willing to give people a chance, so you know, everybody gets picked on merit. So he's not frightened of using youth players if he thinks that they're good enough. He's not frightened of bringing in people that have played a slightly lower level, but you know, have that potential, which I think is very interesting. He's locally based, which we felt was very advantageous as well if we were looking at a full-time manager position. But ultimately, you know, he had a fantastic track record at Maidstone. You know, three promotions, I think, in 4 years. And I suppose, how is he different to Steve? I think he's more of a man manager than Steve. I think that he will be able to get the very, very best out of the players that we bring to the club on our existing players. I don't think I've heard anybody in football say a bad thing about him, which is really, really positive. And, you know, he's used to working on a budget that's a lot less than ours at Margate. And I think that that's also attractive to us because, you know, he knows how to manage a budget successfully, and that's not easy. You know, you can bring in a manager and, you know, they say, yeah, well, I think if we want success, this is the budget I need, and it could be completely, you know, pie in the sky for us. So, I think we've increased the budget again this year. Right. So it's more than last year. And I think that we're confident that he will manage that budget really, really well. And I think we can see that already. You know, I think it's given the players that have been here a long time a new lease of life as well. And, you know, I think we had a fear that some of those players may have left the club. Yeah. You know, everybody needs something fresh. Things can get stale. And, you know, I think it's great that we've, you know, re-signed people like, you know, Joe Turner and Craig and Doug and Sonny,
I think,
you know.
Those players, every year they like to tease us Tunbridge fans on Twitter and say it's been lovely and almost goodbye. And then, but I think this year, I think there was a couple there that I was actually surprised with, because I did think that was it, and we would be seeing a few fan favourites, let's say, and no longer wearing blue. So I think, putting two and two together, I think that's probably exactly what's happened, isn't it? That they've decided to actually, they've bought into the new project and the new what's going on.
I think that's right, and I think, you know, the players think it's a good appointment, which is great, you know, and I think that Jay's been really sensible, because he's realised, he said, no, what we need to do here is we need to keep this great core, and then we just add to it. And you know, he made it clear to the board when we met with him and interviewed him that, you know, we asked him what his views were on the team. You know, how would you change things? And he, you know, his big position was we need pace and we need mobility. And I think that anybody that's watched the games this season knows that we need pace and knows that we need mobility. So, you know, I think we need, you know, the new additions look great so far. And I know that there's many more planned to arrive soon. So I think, you know, he's been very, very productive since he arrived. And that's just been great for us to see. He's also very communicative with the board, which is great. So he initiated a WhatsApp group with the board, and I think that's been really helpful for some of the other directors that maybe weren't as involved previously in the kind of football side of things.
No, brilliant. Oh, it was really good to hear. I think also another thing, and I'll give Steve credit here, I think when Steve came to the club, obviously he had one player that then got injured in his first game and the rest was a complete new squad. So I think also actually that's great to see that Jay's looked at what Steve's almost built and taken the core of that and built and hopefully we'll build on that. So that's a little bit of credit to Steve as well there from what he's part of what
definitely.
He's done there and build on that.
Definitely.
So that's really cool. So when I spoke to Jay, he said that the club have said, you know, they don't expect him to go and win the league next year and he won't be sacked if we don't win the league next year. But what's the goal? So obviously there's a lot of change for Tunbridge. So what can you say to Tunbridge fans? Like, what's the long-term goal here? And is your plan to stay around for a long time? Is the new board and the way things are, is this now Tunbridge for a long time? And someone's quoted you as saying, and probably in a jokey way, that you hope the plastic pitch one day gets ripped up when we're in League Two.
I mean, look, I mean, I'd love to stay around, and even if I wasn't ever on the board, I'd still be staying around. You know, I've fallen in love with the place, so you know, it's my team now, and you know, I feel emotionally attached to it. So, that's my position. In terms of the football, our aspirations are to get promoted into the National League. I don't think we think that that's going to happen overnight. It might be a 5-year project. It might be sooner. What we do intend to do is that, you know, we intend to support the manager and try to increase the playing budget every year. Once we have repaid all our investors in 5 years, that really changes the situation enormously. You could potentially be looking at adding, you know, almost doubling the playing budget, you know. And that's when it really, really changes. But we are looking for improvement. We don't want to be in a relegation dogfight. It would be disastrous for this football club to be relegated. And that's, you know, why we've made this change, really, because we feel that, you know, we need to push on as much as possible. And I think Jay's the right person, you know, to take us forward. So we are having win bonuses this year, which is super cool. Exciting for our players. you joke and you say, look, you know, 20 wins will be fine. I think.
Mind you, as Harry Redknapp says, you're not paying them to lose.
So we're looking for improvement. I think it would be super if we were comfortably mid-table in this sort of season to consolidate. I think that would be great. We just don't want to be looking down. I think that's the really tough thing that we need to avoid.
So with the whole, like, you know, potential saying, you know, we've been looking over our shoulders before and then now it's looking forward. Here's a question I never thought I'd ask someone involved with Tunbridge Angels. Let's say next season we exceed expectations and we finish in the playoffs. I won't say finish first, but let's say we do it. And let's say that we're sat here next season and we actually do. You look at Chippenham got in the playoffs.
It's completely doable.
So let's say that happens. Are the club in a position where 12 months time, we've just been promoted to the National League? Are we in a position where that's something that we could manage in 12 months' time if it does happen? That sounds a ridiculous question, but it's good to know, I guess.
Yeah, it is. And you know, that's why we're doing everything that we're doing off the pitch, is to really support that move into full-time football, you know, because that's what we want to do. You know, we've got a full-time manager, and I think that position has to come first, before you then transition into actually, you know, a full-time team. You know, gosh, of course it would be enormously difficult to manage, you know, going through the playoffs and then, you know, getting promoted. Yeah, it would be difficult, but it's something that, you know, we've got a framework at the club now that can support that. Let's all hope that happens. Wouldn't that be brilliant?
It would be, wouldn't it?
Amazing, amazing.
And you got win bonuses. Have you got a cup bonus? Because we all missed our only our one performance in the first round proper. We've all missed it. As
I know, so I know.
We've got to have a name to get into an FA Cup first round again.
Yeah, we've always looked after the players if we've had a good cup run. We don't budget for cup runs at all or prize money. So that's just totally outside the budget. Anything that happens is a bonus. We've always looked after the players well, and they deserve it. Gosh, if they bring us success, then they should be rewarded.
Yeah, no, absolutely, no, brilliant. We have got obviously a plastic pitch coming along. How is that going to change things? Have we got plans in place for that to be used all the time? And then I understand also we've got a stadium manager, which is another role coming into the club. So talk to us a little bit about all of that, if you can.
Yeah, that will be our fourth, won't it? Fourth full-time employee. Yeah, so we will have a stadium manager. We need somebody that is going to kind of manage the whole site, look after oversee all the maintenance of the site, and obviously maintain the pitch, because it's still, although it is a plastic pitch, it still requires maintenance, and you can see the more you look after the pitch, the longer you can keep it for before the carpet needs to be replaced. So we've got another employee joining in cool. June, so we will obviously be announcing that. But in terms of the pitch, Slatters, you've probably seen all the photos, because all the signings have been like on the terrace bar kind of veranda, and you can see all the kind of mud in the background, all the endless amounts of soil. But the pitch is hopefully the handover, if it's on schedule, which we believe at this moment in time it will be the 15th of July. Cool. So we have some time before the season starts. Obviously, we do have contingency in place if that's delayed. It's likely that our first match will be away, just in case there is some sort of delay with the pitch. We're already taking bookings. We've got a booking system up and running. Oh, wow. That will be kind of live, I think, soon. Our main user will be Tonbridge Juniors Football Club, who are going to be using the facility for training and matches. So this is massive for us, because they have over 800 children at Tonbridge Juniors, which is incredible. And those 800 children will be coming down to Longmead very regularly, and they will get to know Longmead, and they will hopefully then be coming to matches. We're encouraging that. We're giving free entry, obviously, all the under 12s. Tonbridge Juniors are going to have their own passes. So that's good. That's amazing. Well, we've also got Soccer Six, which is a men's soccer league. They're going to be hiring from us in block bookings. We'll be having our under 18 team in the Isthmian League playing on the pitch, the academy team as well, and then first team. I mean, it's going to be a revelation, I think, for the players. To actually have a home for training. It's been slightly nomadic. Booking facilities has not been an easy task for Charlie Cole to sort out. So for the players to actually come to training in their own home is going to be, phenomenal for them. So we're super excited, and we're going to be doing some really cool kind of team building things that Ross is working on, like corporate team building football events. We're also looking at Zorbing, if you've ever heard of Zorbing. So we're looking at all different aspects to generate as much income as we can from the pitch. And as well as that, the kiosks and the bars, etc., are going to be open, during the week and on Sundays. So, it enables anyone coming down to the club to be able to eat and drink in the stadium, which is great. I mean, it's going to be a good facility for people, as well as, you know, enabling us to increase those, you know, bar sales and kiosk sales even further. So it's going to be a really different atmosphere, because, you know, you've got to imagine that when you go down there and there's no matches going on, you know, it's quite a quiet place, whereas yeah. we're just going to have so many people coming in and out all the time, and it's I think it's going to have a real community feel about the place.
I think, and as you say, all of those new people coming into the club, and then if they get one experience of a match day, hear the crowd, hear the roar when a goal goes in, those kids are going to want to come back. The parents will have to bring the kids back, and they'll get hooked as well. I think it's absolutely
definitely. And as you said right at the beginning, Bobby, you know, and this is how I saw it exactly the same way. The football club has enormous potential. Yeah. You know, we're in a great location. You know, you've got Tunbridge, you've got Tunbridge Wells, you've got Seven Oaks, you know, all this area, you know, are potential fans for us. So I don't have any doubt that our attendances will continue to increase. And if that was coupled with some element of football success, then, you know, it could be really, really different.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think another thing as well, tapping into that, is a lot of people say to me that I'm mad, because where I now live in Essex, that I'm mad the travel time to go to and from Tunbridge, which I get, I am a bit. but if you look at all the people that will commute from Tunbridge to go and watch Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, the time, yeah. as an example, where I live in Southend, the time it takes for me to get home from a Spurs game with the train and everything is quicker for me to drive to Tunbridge and back. So it's the doorstep of Tunbridge. It's going to be much more appealing, even if it's two Saturdays in a month, to go, well, we just pop down to Tunbridge, actually, and we get such an amazing atmosphere. They've got everything going on. So, yeah, I think it's great that you and the club are tapping into that potential.
And I think that people have changed, you know, since lockdown. Yeah. People have reevaluated their lives and what's important to them. And I think that people, you know, don't have that desire to just follow, you know, the Premier League anymore. I think that people are starting to think, well, actually, you know, my community is really important to me, and, you know, grassroots football is important. And, you know, we've seen the benefits. And as you said, in the same way as like teams like Dulwich have tapped into a certain market, you know, that's something that, you know, we're hoping to do too.
And the other thing with exciting. That, yeah, and I think also, like, if you look at obviously you've got kids yourself, but if you look at, like, when I was a kid, I talked about this on the podcast, we had a player called Scott Kinch. He was my absolute hero, and yet, like, at my schoolmates, their heroes were Ronaldo and Rooney, but the difference was I could see Kinch over a barrier and have my photo with him. And you look at the end of the season at St Albans, young fan Harry, who absolutely adores Sonny Miles. Well, Sonny gave him his kit for the season, and Harry's bawling his eyes out crying. You know, you've got to be 1 in 100,000 to get that off Harry Kane, you know.
I know, it's so special for kids. Sonny Miles, what a legend. My son got his captain's armband at Concord, that made his lifetime, you know. So
deserves something for going to Canby, I think.
Absolutely. Come on, darling, you really do want to go to Canby. it is. I mean, the players are accessible, and isn't that great? And isn't it great that we can all have a beer with them after the match? Isn't it great that you can shake their hand and chat to them, and you know, that's something that Jay feels very strongly about, in the same way that Steve did. So that, you know, will very much continue. The players will be accessible, and I think we've got to get kids hooked on Tunbridge Angels, and I think that's starting to happen.
Brilliant.
You know, I've got my kids have told all their school friends. I mean, they go to school in Oxted, and, you know, I've already, families from Oxted are travelling over to watch a game, because, you know, they want the kids to experience live football, but they need it to be affordable, and they also need it to be easy for them.
Yeah. And so, it's got to be at a level of excitement where the kids want to go back as well. They're not just being taken down the local park. They're going, wow, the atmosphere is amazing, the players. So, yeah, no, that's brilliant.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and like you, you know, these players are heroes for the kids, you know. My youngest son, you know, absolutely adores, you know, Johnny Henley. He's just his, like, role model. He now wants to be a goalkeeper, you know. It's things like that, which is, it's great how positive football can be and how it can inspire people.
Yeah,
it's it's really, really good.
No, brilliant. And then before we finish up, one more thing. This is now running before we can walk. Obviously, I'm biased because I love it. But Longmead is a lovely stadium. We've got the lovely stand. We've got the two stands behind each goal. But we know over the years there's been problems with the changing room. And I'm going to call it the shed side, although some of them are very well done. And I know they've been volunteers over the years, but we've got the shed side. So are there any plans for Longmead in the future? Is there plans to get more of a community hub on that side of things? Or is that sort of being talked about at all?
Yeah, I think I sort of said in the initial chat that I had with Neil that it was sort of three-pronged, really. The pitch was the starting point. We needed to change to an artificial pitch in order to have a real chance at sustainability, proper sustainability. And then, you know, the second phase was effectively the redevelopment of some part of the ground. You know, we do need better facilities, and that's something that we'll be working on as the next sort of major project. And hopefully, and the third thing being, you know, promotion to the National League, and that, you know, it has to be, the three have to all sort of
go together,
support each other. Yeah.
Yeah. If you go by my plan, we're getting promoted next year. So there you go.
Yeah, but it's it's really exciting times, and I think that yes, difficult, tough decisions have had to be made. It's been quite grueling for the board, you know. Yeah. It's, you know, emotionally, but I think that hopefully in the long term it will be viewed as the right decision to give us the strongest chance of progress.
Yeah, absolutely. No, brilliant. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Sophie. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Bobby.
It's been great. And I think a lot of people have a lot of questions there that I think people have probably wanted to ask or know. So I think we've probably answered a lot there. So I think we're all excited. What was it Trevor said last week? He said we're all cautiously optimistically excited or something like that.
Yes. I think that's a good phrase. I may adopt that one. But you know, I'm also accessible, you know. Yeah. So, you know, my email is on the website, and I'm always happy to have a chat with anybody that's got any concerns or needs things clarifying, even on the match day as well. So, you know, please do contact the club, because we do aim to be open and transparent, and that's what we, you know, we're trying to achieve. So and we'll have our AGM coming up as well, so we can obviously answer a lot more questions from supporters, from our owners.
Yeah. No, brilliant. Well, thank you. We look forward to the news with players and that over the coming days.
Yeah, it seems a constant stream. I'm just
I like it.
Pressing like.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of players that I can see on Instagram that are on holiday at the moment. So I think we're all just fingers crossed that there's news when they come back. But then there we go. We'll see what happens. But no, brilliant. All right, Sophie, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hopefully we'll speak to you another point in the future, and obviously see you at games and stuff when the season starts.
Yeah, can't wait. I think we've got some pre-season friendlies. Obviously we haven't got anything scheduled for a home match yet because of the pitch and the handover, but I think we're hopeful that we can have a home pre-season friendly. Cool. The very last weekend of July.
Oh, cool. Well, that would be good.
We're hoping. So Jay's working hard to try and get an attractive side to come and play us. So watch this space. But meanwhile, we've got a trip to Yorkshire as well. So,
yes, of course. We've got.
That's exciting.
How did that one come about then? Who organised that?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, we're, it's I think that we felt that it was important for the team. They last year they had kind of a team bonding evening out after the Worthing game, pre-season friendly. And we were talking about, you know, where we could possibly go and let the players, you know, really get to know each other. Because these things are really, really important. You know, it shouldn't be just about training and just match days. You know, they have to create a proper true bond. Yeah. They have to want to, you know, run through brick walls for each other. And you can only really achieve that by them spending time together and getting to know each other as friends. So hopefully the trip to Leeds and Farsley Celtic will provide that kind of, you know, team building, bonding experience for the team.
Yeah, brilliant. And I'm sure it will give a few fans a good away day as well.
Hopefully. The train tickets are quite good actually at the moment.
Oh, are they?
So, yeah, book early. I think that's the famous saying.
Sound like you're trying to sell the town, are you? No, brilliant. Well, no, it should be really good. So, no, thanks again. I look forward to the next season and see what happens. And as I said the other day, I think the board will want this as well. I think the one thing is, I think as fans need to give it a chance, because Trev said the fixture list will be absolutely key. So I think Jay Saunders is start, and not saying that there's teams that we'd lose to, but as in, I think that, you know, if we do end up losing three or four games to start with, we want the fans to stick behind the project and the regime, and I'm sure we will do. So that sounds really negative. We're gonna win and we're gonna storm the league. But yeah, no, brilliant.
I think what you're gonna see is 100% effort.
That's
what you're gonna see. But hopefully a little bit more pace and mobility.
Yeah, no, cool. That's brilliant to hear. Well, thank you, Sophie. It's been lovely to chat to you.
Thank you, Bobby.